Hi everyone, welcome to North and South Podcast. This is Tim. It's a real honour today to speak to Bob Rouse and Mike Brennan of Bootle Action Group. This is a politics podcast, a bit of a local community. So we're going to find out today about these two people, what Bootle Action Group is, and just get the information out there of the good work that's going on in the community. So folks, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Barbara Rouse. I do a lot of voluntary work in the community, have done for a lot of years, love everything I do, get very frustrated at times with certain issues, and but we always try and keep positive if we can, but it can be difficult at times. Well, Mike will tell you about Bootle Action Group and when that started.
I'm Mike Brennan. I've lived in Bootle all me 45 years. We're both up by the Mons, actually, which is why we've been quite interested in this McDonald's saga that's going on. Yeah, so do you want me to tell you about Bootle Action Group? And
yeah, that's fine. Just so everyone knows, I live in Bootle too, and the Mons is like an ancient pub, which is linked with the big battle from World War One, Mons in Belgium, I think. And it's just closed, yeah. And there's rumours of a McDonald's moving it. But Mike, the floor is yours for Bootle Action Group.
That's being smashed.
Yeah, so where it all kind of began was, I mean, I've always been very community-minded, I'm very proud of where I'm from, and I want to see it better and it prosper, basically. So I've done volunteering over the years, not as much as Barbara, but, you know, social media is like, it can be a bit of a platform for people having a whinge, moan, and vent some frustrations, I think, more than anything. So what happened was, I was joining quite a few of the local groups on Facebook, and a common theme back then, and nothing's changed, is the litter, the rubbish, the fly tipping. So I thought, I'm sick of reading about it. And I thought, what can I do? So I thought, maybe if I do like a community litter pick. So what I did was I got in touch with the council and said, look, I want to start up a once-a-month litter pick. Can you help? Because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where to start. What the council did was they loaded us some litter pickers. And on Facebook, I set up... We didn't have an official Facebook page at the time. It was just information sharing into the local community groups. And I said, look, 2016, I'm going to do this litter pick. If anybody wants to join us, you're more than welcome. You know, just put all the details on. About March 2016, I think. So the weather wasn't great. Anyway, on the day came, and it was absolutely torrential rain. It was chucking it down. And I thought, no one's going to come. The meeting point was by the Mons. And I thought, you know what? It doesn't matter because I'm here. And if I'm that one person today making a difference, then that's all that matters. Do you know what I mean? The people started turning up one by one. And I think in the end, there was about 15 of us all out in the rain. We were out for 2 hours. And that's where it began.
That's good. So in 2016, you're picking up this kind of theme that there's rubbish everywhere. And again, I do think it is an issue. My son, last year, I was out with my son going to the park, and he said to me, Daddy, why is there like rubbish all over the floor? And do you know when a kid asks a question and they just break through, you kind of like the way that you accept the way things are sometimes. And I thought, you know, that's a really good question. Why is the rubbish everywhere? You know, is it down to people? Is it down to the council? Is it down to whoever? Now, we know councils have had the budgets cut by up to like 50% over the last kind of 14 or so years. And it does seem to be a big problem in the area. And Bootle's a fairly deprived area, but as you say, we've got proud people here and people who want the best for the community. And there's always going to be a minority of people. So you've got 15 people on a really rainy day. And then did things kind of pick up from there?
Yeah, it became like a monthly regular thing. And to be honest, we had quite a good turnout on the litter picks. We try to cover as much of Bootle as we can. And obviously, there's some places where it's not needed and other areas worse than others. So it just carried on monthly.
You know what, Tim? It hasn't really changed an awful lot. I know we're trying to be positive, but it hasn't. And on Facebook over the last week, I've been reading so much about people complaining about the rubbish and the meths that live in this area. And I got a bit upset and said, please don't generalise, because some of us, like me, go outside my house and brush 50 yards up the road and 50 yards down. We have a walkway, so, you know, it's a bit easier. But I like to see it looking nice. I love my house to be weed-free and a nice bit of paint on the gates and flowers. And I don't know why other people think it's all right to live in a tip, because it's not. And I always say, you've got to realise there are more really, really good, genuine, lovely people in Bootle than the others. But unfortunately, the others seem to be doing more fly tipping, more rubbish. And I personally think it's got to start in schools. My children brought home pocketfuls of other people's rubbish. So really, it's got to be, if not on the curriculum, as part of their looking after our town where we live.
It's interesting that Barbara says that, because Bootle Action Group started off as just an informal litter picking group. And then later on in the process, as things started to speed up, our friends down at Safe suggested that we might want to become a community interest company, which would then, you know, open us up to receive funding. But as part of that, we thought, well, we're going to need some kind of logo. So I sat down one night and I was just drawing a few things, and I thought, I'm going about this the wrong way. We need to get the community involved in this. I don't want to do the logo. So what we did was we ran a competition across the Bootle schools with the idea that it gets the schools thinking about the litter. Because that, as Bob said, that's where you need to home in on, isn't it, when they're at that age. So yeah, we ran this competition across three local schools, and the winner, from memory, was from St. Monica's. So our logo was designed by her in probably 2017, yeah.
That's good, because you're involving the schools. And I mean, I was a school teacher for 25 years, and we often have campaigns about litter. And there was one head teacher in particular, and when he came into the school, when he was new, he just said, this has got to stop. And we had big campaigns about it. And what I often found is there were certain students, when you were speaking to them, they'd look at you like, what do you mean? Like, and I don't know whether it starts in the home or what, but when I was brought up, the thought of throwing something on the floor, for me, when I was young, the way I was brought up, it just never even entered my head. And yet there's peer pressure, and you might have areas where there's no bins or whatever. Mm. But I really just don't understand it, because I've wrote about this today, actually, just as a little aside, something that I'm doing about rubbish and why people throw rubbish on the floor. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's your community. It's you. It's a reflection of you. And if you have enough people who say, we're not doing this and that's not acceptable, we can make big changes. And I think that it's great what you're doing. But it is a frustrating one. I mean, I've seen adults throwing like McDonald's bags, mentioning them again, out of moving cars, like quite wealthy cars, you know, and I'm looking and saying, did I actually just see that? Like, what's going on there? You have to take a double take. But it is quite depressing, but it is a minority, I think.
On that subject, can I just tell you about many years ago? My husband's here in the background, if you see him running around. We were in Devon, and we were just approaching traffic lights, and something came out of a window. It was a cigarette packet and something else. And I said to Ken, stop, don't move. He did stop. I got out the car. Fortunately, it was still on red, and went, you know, as you do, wind your window down. And I said, I think you've just dropped these out of your window. I said, who do you think's going to pick all this up? I said, imagine this, 1,000 people throw a fag packet out of the window. Please don't do it again. And he sort of looked. I can't remember whether he said sorry. I didn't really care. I got the message. He got his rubbish back. I didn't care if he threw us out when he was going up the road. It didn't matter.
You got your point across.
I got my point across.
You're right, you know, it's not just our community doing it. You're right, you know, I've seen things getting lashed out the car windows on Southport Road and I'm on my horn at them and I'm like, what are you know, what are you doing? It's
terrible, isn't it? It's a little bit like someone talking to themselves and, like, you know, calling themselves stupid or dumb. You'd say, don't talk to yourself like that. And people doing it to their own community. But it frustrates me. And it's like people are just disconnected from their environment or that's nothing to do with me. And I really don't get it. Just as a basic moral, ethical approach to life, if you don't litter your immediate environment, you're doing your little bit, aren't you? What do you think about this idea? I mean, I'm a bit older now and I do say things like if I see a young person doing something wrong, I'll say, excuse me. And I might not like have a go at them. You've got to be careful, haven't you? But
yeah.
I'll always kind of say, like, excuse me, like, what are you doing? What are you doing that for? And there's a lot of people who feel reluctant that, like, people are a bit more in your face than they used to be. But I think if everyone was to take a bit of a stand and just show disapproval without necessarily challenging people too much, I think the world would be a better place, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I've got just two things to say about that. We kind of take a different approach now as a family. So if you stood outside the school, say, and then there's a kid eating an ice cream and the wrapper comes off and it's on the floor, it's always that, how confrontational do you want to be? You know, so what I do now is I just say to one of my kids, oh, someone's dropped something, do you just want to put that in the bin? Because there's a bin right outside the school.
Yeah, so that's unforgivable, that is.
Yeah, so you're doing it so that you're making your point, but you're doing it indirectly. The second thing I wanted to say was, so we've been doing some alleyway transformations because there's a lot of fly tipping in the alleyways. Some it's not feasible to do, you know, the narrow ones. Saying that, somebody did say to me, if there's room to fly tip, there's room to make improvements. So, you know, and that's a good way of looking at it. But the point I'm getting to is we've just completed Marsh Avenue transformation on that. I don't know if you've seen it. So that's gone from a fly-tipped alleyway full of weeds and whatever. And it's full of flowers, fruit, vegetables, community benches. You know, it's just a massive transformation. When we were out there one day, because I still go along and support them where I can, someone threw a manky old like paddling pool over the wall. Now, not everyone wanted to be involved in the project, and that's fine. You know, the entry is open to all. If you want to come out, great. If you don't, that's your choice. But don't destroy the good work of the others. Now, what those, I say women because it was mostly women that helped, when that come over, they picked it up and threw it back and said, you can see over your wall or out your window how hard we worked on this. Do not destroy our work. And the woman behind the wall apologised. But that's what people need to do, isn't it? They need to start standing up to it. And
you know, Tim, Mike won't tell you, but he instigated the fundraising for this. And he got all the fundraising for us and gathered the people together, got letters sent round the houses. He's done so much good work in this area. And we probably haven't got time to go through everything. But I know there's things that Mike wants to...
I think a lot of it's how you approach people. So in the past, people in Marsh Avenue have had the council going, don't be fly-tipping, and, you know, and One Vision Housing, you know, stop the fly-tipping. So I've gone in with a different approach and I've said, look, I'm just Mike from Bootle and I want to help you. I want to make your lives better. You know, because who wants rats and rodents and, you know, filth on your doorstep? It's just because they were really weary of me at first because they thought I was the council. But, you know, I convinced them I wasn't and I worked with them and that's what we've achieved.
That's fantastic. And I know, like, New York many years ago had the, like, any broken windows, any graffiti, we get it covered up straight away, like a presentational thing. And it doesn't always deal with the underlying issues, but that was something that, like, divided opinion. But I know that there was a thing about men throwing I forget which country it was now, which community. There was a thing about men throwing rubbish on the floor from the cars. And they did one of the most effective things to reduce it was they put posters up, like saying, men respect this area. And that was the single biggest thing that led to a reduction in waste. And I think sometimes you have got to think outside the box and say, right, what's happening hasn't been working. So what can we do? I mean, getting a letter through your box, your post box, saying, is someone who's willing to like get involved in your community? So are you getting people to deliver to arrange days when you're going to improve a community and then it's up to people to get involved? Is that how you kind of operate as a CIC?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we've not done that much litter picking this year because we've taken on a patch of land opposite the Munns, which is gardens, and a lot of time, effort, and money is going into that at the minute.
Fabulous.
And it shows. So we've not done as much litter picking. What we would do to get the word out is we would advertise on social media, but we know that's not the best way because when we've done litter picks in the cemetery, for example, people have said to me, I didn't know about this. And I've said, oh, you're on Facebook? No. You're on any social media? No. I used to get the Bootle Times and stuff.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier on, didn't you, about the community newspaper? And I think it's so important to get something like that back because we know not everyone's on social media.
You know, something else, just following on from what Mike was saying, what he's also done is encourage people to start up their own activities, to look at what they've got, see the photographs of Marsh Avenue, and you can have this social area. And somebody's made a little bar area, and it's got it's all empty bottles and things in it. But it's a nice touch, and they do take their own if they want it. Days like this. But it's encouraging people to take a pride and respect in their area. And this seems to be happening. You wouldn't think so with the comments on Facebook. But
you mentioned broken window before, but there is a theory, isn't there? The broken window theory. You know, if something looks downtrodden, then people will treat it downtrodden.
I think there's definitely truth in that, isn't there? I mean,
yeah.
If people show pride in their environment and they feel pride in it, and again, a lot of it's to do with investments and socioeconomics. Yeah. We know Bootle's an area hit hard by the closure of the docks and industry. We get all that, but it's how we move forward, isn't it, as a community? I think it's so important. Now, Bootle Action Group, you've got a Facebook group, haven't you? You've got about 4,500 in Bootle Action Group.
Yeah.
And I just checked then, the census for 2011 was that there's about 51,000. So let's say there's another 2,000 or 3,000 since then, for argument's sake. You know, it's not far off 10% of the population of Bootle being on that group. Now, not everyone checks it all the time, but you just mentioned about like local newspapers going down and these kinds of like, they call them news deserts, don't they, now, where people don't know what's going on. They don't know what the council's doing. They don't know about community initiatives. They don't know about these kind of things. And it is a problem. And that's where I think you're filling that vacuum, particularly with all the cuts to local government, of people coming together and saying, right, let's do what we can constructively to improve things. And I think that, as you said before, like you're focusing on this, but you want people to come up with their own little things. Just mentioning two quick examples. We had terrible, terrible snow one Christmas in about 2011, 2010. And I remember everyone was out in the street cleaning the path. We were all waving at each other up and down the street. And I remember thinking, I can't remember the last time I saw half of these people. There was like a real sense of community and everyone was laughing, like a blitz spirit. Yeah. And during COVID, when people were out hitting the pans and all that, I thought, you know, regardless of how tokenistic it might be, but this is people getting out and just being together. And I think when we lose that and people like living in their own homes and they don't even live who lives, I mean, people might know who lives next door, but they might not know who lives two doors away. I just think that's a sad state of affairs. And that's what leads to this, not being interested in what's happening outside your door. And I think it's sad.
Tim, can I just add something? People are also afraid, if you like, of neighbours, and it might be a house of multiple occupancy. they don't really know what that means, but they know that there's a lot of young people coming and going. They are frightened of the, I can't think of the word, not the unexpected, what they don't know.
Yeah, fear of the unknown, not knowing is there.
Like walking along the canal and there's a gang of five lads, but you've got to go past them with your little dog. And when you go past them, they can quite easily say, oh, hello, love, you're right. Oh, that's a lovely little dog. And right away, that fear of the unknown, it's diminished because we can't generalise. Our young people can be the best in the world, like our community, but it's just the minority. That's what we've got to understand.
I think the council have got a massive task ahead. I mean, they've started up this campaign, haven't they? Why Fly Tip? They've got £50,000 off the government. I'm dubious about it. I'm dubious about it for a few reasons. One, they've not really involved local community groups such as Bootle Action Group. We could have worked with the council, but I don't think it's going to solve anything. I think it's just going to be a stick and plaster. I don't know. I mean, they've had enforcement officers knocking on the doors, asking people, do you know what days your bins go out? Do you know that fly tipping's wrong? Series of questions. Now, this is happening around the Cambridge Road area, okay? And the council have been in, they've cleared some of the entries. I went down Sydney Road today, and the entry that was cleared in the last few weeks is full of single beds, mattresses, wardrobes, bin bags, and this is whilst this campaign's going on. So I'm just not sure.
That's a lack of joined up thinking, isn't it? That's like a power thing where I've done it myself, where if people or a group comes up with a suggestion, as soon as like the authorities say that, oh, we're not fully in control of that. No, we can't do that. You know what I mean? Instead of saying, let's use your expertise. We know we're getting cut to the bone. We know this is a big problem. You're in the community. Let's work together. Let's come up with some ideas and some suggestions.
Tim, the council could help in a lot of ways, but one way particular, as far as the cleansing teams are concerned, that they send out, I swear they don't give them the facts and figures of what they're doing and why they're getting paid their wages. We see it all the time. You'll get the guy that's walking along the road and he passes. We've seen it. We're not saying anything this isn't true. They've got to get that pride back. And if they don't, and they, if it means following them around, maybe seeing what they do and don't do, you know, I don't know, pride and respect, please. We've got to get that back.
Yeah. I think back in the day, I remember that there was a bit thing, wasn't there, that like a working class tradition. Not just a working class tradition, but this idea that, you know, if you worked in a tough job, if you were working all week, on the days that you weren't working, you made sure that the area outside your house was spotless and, you know, there was pride, etc. Yeah. And I do feel like that kind of, the idea of getting your own house in order, I think when that goes, that then impacts on the wider community, doesn't it? And I've been walking around Bootle Strand recently taking some photographs. I remember Bootle Strand when it was rammed and stuff. And the shops near my house, no one's there anymore. It used to be absolutely rammed on a Saturday or people getting a shop. And there are changes in the community where people are out less and people don't mix as much. And I think that's worse for everyone when those kind of things become the norm.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things I was going to say before as well, when I was saying about the council having a massive task, there's parts of Bootle now which are, you know, you've got three-bedroom traditional terraced houses that are becoming HMOs. No one knows who lives in them. And it is having an impact on the rubbish. It's a transient community, especially around Hubert College. That old part of Bootle, it's gone. I think a lot of it went, you know, when they demolished all the houses. The rubbish is just out of this world. And I do think it's because it's so transient down there now. How do you deal with that?
But they had, when they had the skips quite a few years ago, we had a rota of when skips would be delivered to your area. And it worked very well until the contractors got wind of it and they decided to dump the rubbish in it. And for some unknown reason, it just stopped. And that was, it was really a good idea. People knew when the skip was going and they...
See, this is where I think the council should be working with the community more. So in Oral Park, you've got a councillor. I think he's independent, but he does stuff weekly with the community. So the skips are dropped off in Oral Park. Say they like they picked these six streets. But on that day that those skips come, they're getting all the residents to come out and work together. So as Barbara was saying, Sefton Council's are saying, well, we don't like advertising where the skips are because you're getting builders coming off throwing the waste in. But that won't happen if all the community is out. You know, they can stop that happening. Can't they? If the skip is just left on its own, then it's a free-for-all, isn't it?
Yeah. But that's where there needs to be ideas and things need to be thought through as much as possible. I mean, I'll give you an example. My dad cleaned a shed out the other day and he's been the tip twice in the last few days. And, you know, he can get it all in one area and then he can take it all down. And, you know, not everyone can do that. And I've had it myself where you phone the council about coming to collect something and it might be weeks ahead and all that stuff. And if you live in a street where there's not much, you haven't got a garden or whatever, it doesn't look nice and it isn't good. There are problems, but this is where there needs to be joined up thinking. And that's where I think Bootle Action Group is so important to filling in that gap, if you like, in the local provision. So you've got the Facebook group. Now, people just share general information on there that affect Bootle as well, don't they, as well as fly tipping and rubbish. I've seen a lot of stuff to do with fly tipping. Now, you're the CIC, which is a community interest company, like an early form of charity. So can people make donations and get involved in Bootle Action Group? Is it better to approach through the Facebook group? And how does it work?
The group, the way it operates now, is sort of at a standstill. And that's purely down to time.
I mean, I
can't, you know, I've got my family and work and it's that commitment, isn't it, to do so much and get tons of funding. And so at the moment, our main funder is European Metal Recycling. That's where our funding comes from. And that's because when we became a CIC, we were thinking, well, where do we go for the money? And I said, didn't I, why don't we ask all these local businesses to contribute? And I wrote out to hundreds of them, hundreds. And the only one that came back to us was European Metal Recycling. Well, we've got a really good relationship with them now.
5-6 years?
Yeah. There was historic, so there was historic issues with them because of there was fires, wasn't there? But that we've worked with them now. And since then, since they've reached out to the community, it hasn't happened again. They've took us down to the site. They've showed us what measures they've put in place. You know, it's being transparent with the community and it's worked.
So they've engaged with yourselves to help with a community cause and they become better themselves through transparency and getting it. I mean, again, that's a fantastic, you know, kind of example of the community, local business. And as you said, it'd be great if the local council were more involved. And once you get all these different people coming together and then more groups coming up and starting up, that's basically what we're looking for in the long run. So can people get involved through the Facebook group in the first instance? If people were interested in getting something sorted, they can do their own one. But if they post on Facebook, that's the first point of call, if you like.
Yeah. And to be fair, it's not just us. There's loads of individuals out now litter picking, you know, but they just do it off their own back.
On our group, Tim, we've got a lot of people, different people. Some don't want to be involved, but want to know what's going on. Some want to be involved, us only on their terms sort of thing. If they're working, they'll only come for an hour or whatever. There are others that are disabled and can't help, but they love seeing what we do. And they're the ones that will say, I've put a donation or I've got a donation. Can you private message me with your bank details? And they've done this. And I think it's just fantastic. People do what they can in their own way. Yeah. I just wish we had more.
Yeah, I mean,
more volunteers.
Something that we have to go out doing all this picking. It's public liability insurance, which is fair enough, isn't it? But it's something like £240 a year, you know, which is not a too insignificant number, but it is to us, and it's. But we've had members of the community fund that for us, which is just brilliant, you know. So, you
know, that's great. Yeah,
You've got your big employers who are giving us money, but there's also people who live here sending us money, so that's great. What those people are saying is, we can't be involved for X, Y, Z. You know, they could have a disability or they just... But they support us in other ways, and that's fine too.
Yeah.
One good thing about Brutal Action Group, and somebody put a comment on about this the other day, was because there's no local newspapers anymore, they rely on groups like ours to find out information. Mm-hmm. So people have been asking, what's happened with this empty shop on Stanley Road that's being done up? And they're finding out through the group. So it's another way of getting information out there. So yeah, we are predominantly an environmental group with a bit of lobbying, but we're also a bit of an information portal. And it's just the way the group's grown. Things just happen, don't they? And
Mike should tell you more about Oxford Gardens, which is just up there from where I live, how he started it. And, you know, with NOS, like, people will dip in and dip out, and you can't always rely. Sometimes Mike's up there on his own, depends how mine is. But we do other things, like we've got a large water bus in the garden. Well, that's where the water comes from. And I'll make them tea and something to eat or something like that if I can't physically help. But Oxford Gardens is going to be judged by Bootle in Bloom on the 5th of August. And sadly, that's where Mike is going on holiday. It was booked before the date of the judging. But really, you know, we're going to be there. But sometimes, you know, we'll look out the window and Mike's up there on his own. He's got a couple of hours. And it's absolutely beautiful. The grass is a lawn. It really is lovely.
Hi, folks. Welcome to part two. We've just had some technical issues, which is usually the way. So, yeah, you were saying that it was at Oxford Road. Did you say that there's been, you've done the gardening there to improve Oxford Road? So you sometimes choose a street or a particular area.
Tim, hang on a minute. It's Oxford Gardens.
Oxford Gardens.
Stretch of land opposite the entrance to Hillside High School on Southport Road.
Got you. I think I was thinking of Monopoly. Is it Oxford Road, Oxford Street? That's what it looks like now anyway, after your good work. But I just think it's great, though, because people do notice them. I noticed them. And I know my mum says, when she sees things, she goes, there's a lovely some people have done it up in this little area. Yeah. And I think it does make a big difference to the community spirit and the social fabric.
I think as well, it's changing misconceptions, isn't it? Because most people drive past the docks and everyone thinks that's cool. And it's not, there's much more to it. You know, we've got Derby Park, which is amazing. And, you know, there's so much more than just driving past the docks, you know. The idea behind Oxford Gardens was in 2018, Bootle celebrated its centenary. It was 150 years of being a county borough, which obviously ended in 1974. But we were thinking, what can we do? Something to commemorate that. So we thought, what we'll do is we'll just put like a little flower bed up there and that can be it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't it. It just evolved into more. So we've made it, you know, quite a nice community asset. Before, it was just a stretch of grass with a path through it. It needed some TLC, you know, the benches needed restore and sweeped and all that. But we've also worked with Green Sefton to help us do stuff. So the lamp standard, that's in the middle of the gardens, that used to be in the front of Christ Church before they built the roundabout.
Oh, right.
And it's probably one of the oldest monuments in Bootle. So it should be looked after and, you know, cared for from that heritage aspect. So yeah, Green Sefton helped us to restore that. So it's just working with other different organisations as well. One Vision Housing, they give us a garage for free. And that's where we store all our community equipment. Now, if we didn't have that from them, probably all be in my back garden, but no, it's just we wouldn't be able to do the stuff that we do, particularly with Oxford Gardens.
And we're helping them.
So, and it's twofold, isn't it? So what we're doing now is I met with some representatives from One Vision Housing the other day. And although we've not actually instigated any litter picks ourselves this year, we have been helping other groups. And One Vision have said to us, look, you know, we've got a community day coming up in October. Can you come out and support us? And that's fine because, you know, they're supporting us with a garage. And we can support them with their community tidy up.
That's how it all should work, isn't it? And, you know, hopefully other groups will be inspired by your good example. But I just think it's great because there's so many reasons why people say, oh, I haven't got time to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I just think it's good when people come together with a common aim and say, right, let's improve things for people in the community. Yeah. Well, we don't want anything for it. We just want to save, as it were.
Yeah. And that's why we work with people like Safe Regeneration that, you know, they've supported us with a laptop and litter pickers. From that period in 2016, we were doing a lot of litter picking, so you get through the tools quite quickly. So it's important to have a steady stock of it.
Christmas.
Yeah, and they've supported us with our with our Christmas event. So we've done a tombola down at the Lock and Key Community Christmas Market, which helped us raise funds for the group. So it's working with all those different community organisations, isn't it? And BAG is now also part of South Sefton Community Alliance. Have you heard of that?
No.
So South Sefton Community Alliance is basically a platform to give the community a bigger voice. So, for example, Bootle Action Group going along and speaking to you know, if there's an issue. So, for example, there's been some fires at Norton's quite recently, which, you know, no one's happy about. Now, Bootle Action Group can go along and complain to them and you know, put our feelings across, you know, tell them what the community are feeling. But by bringing other organisations into the fold, it's a bigger voice, isn't it? And that's what South Sefton Community Alliance is about. It's striving for all the things that BAG does, you know, a better environment, better air quality. But there's more of us now.
Non-political, Mike.
Yeah, we're not, and it's a non-political group. It's just people that live within South Sefton wanting to make life better.
But again, more the merrier, and this is why the loss of local newspapers, which could say, I mean, I always thought the local newspaper, it wasn't always organised the best, but at least you could have, like, you say, right, is local community news on these few pages, like positive community news and organisations working together? Because now you don't hear about anything like that. I remember seeing Litter Picking in the Champion, where, you know, maybe around the time that you all started, but there is a real gulf and, you know, a missing link there between what people know and what's going on out there. And not only that, the perception, but the actual action getting out into the community on like rainy days, like you did in the first instance in March 2016, you know, getting out there and doing it. But I think it's great work that you're doing and long may it continue.
Yeah, and I mean, just going back to the white fly tip campaign earlier on, I probably sounded too negative. I'm made up something's happening, you know, because it could be. I'm just not sure of what the legacy is going to be.
Yeah.
So Marsh Avenue, for example, that has got a legacy.
Yeah.
Can't see what the legacy of this is going to be once that £50,000 has been being spent. So, you know.
What do you think's been the impact of when I was young, alleyways were like no-go zones. And they introduced those fences, didn't they, where only people who live in those houses can have a key. However, people who live in there can still tip. But how are you finding the problem with fly tipping? Is it like people just doing it in areas that they can get to, even if they can't get into alleyways the way people used to? Well, how does it kind of work?
Well, there's different types of fly tipping, isn't there? There's like, you know, you've got your industrial fly tipping down on the industrial areas of Bootle, which is, I mean, I had cause to go down there a couple of months ago and it's shocking. I just don't think the council even touched those areas. It's just that bad. Fly tipping in the alleyways, it's the residents doing it. If there's alligator up, it can only be one person doing it.
They're the ones doing it, yeah.
One group doing it, which is the residents. But all, but also you've got a lot of rented properties in Bootle, and going back to that whole transient thing, you know, if a tenant leaves a load of stuff in the house, it's the landlord probably just tips it in the entry. And we've had incidences of that reported on Bootle Action Group. You know, people asking us, you know, I've just seen someone doing this house up and they dumped all the stuff in the entry. What do we do? And we can only advise them, you know, speak to the council, ring the council. People can be wary about doing it. And in the past, the council have said, well, you need to go to court, and this puts people off, you know. But what it needs is, if there's one bad egg in the street and all the other eggs are good, well, all them good eggs should be standing up against the one bad egg, shouldn't they? And then no one becomes a target for, you know, any backlash, so to speak.
Yeah, I think there's truth in that. If everyone takes responsibility on a street, instead of like divide and rule or whatever, or not getting involved.
But there are loads of positive stuff going on. I mean, I talk about Marsh Avenue, and that's because we've done that. Currently, we're working on Earl Road entry, and we've got another two in the pipeline. But there are some that have been done in Bootle already, up by the old Johnsons, Rufford Road, all them, Dave Hall.
Brilliant.
They've done it themselves, you know. So it doesn't necessarily need a group like us to come in. The community can do it themselves. And it's been proven.
Well, I just think it's fantastic anyway, and I just wish there was other ways that we could get this out there and get involved. But I think first and foremost, I think people need to take responsibility for themselves and their own little area, but then come together, educate, come together, work together, and, you know, we all get better together, don't we? But is there anything else you want to add before we finish?
All I was going to say was it's all about community, isn't it? So, you know, the council are telling us that it's costing, I can't, the top of my head, something like £500,000 a year to clear fly tipping, right? So it's like, we'll put measures in place to stop it, bring back community skips. Now, they are doing that, but not as widespread as they should be. It's going to cost money to put those skips there, but if they're spending it clearing the fly tipping anyway, it's a no-brainer. But what that does is it makes the area better because it's cleaner. You know, the fly tipping is sitting there for weeks. Well, if people have a way of getting rid of it straight away, then it's not going to have a negative effect, is it?
Tim, I'm back in.
Cheers, Bob. I think another important thing is there's a charity not far from where I live called In Your Shoes, and they literally take anything and give it to people who need it, like bedding, anything. And it's a matter of getting it to the right people. So what people throw out often, other people are desperate for it.
Yeah, we see it all the time. I'm like, that could have gone to someone. We did a community cleanup with South Sefton Community Alliance up in Netherton a couple of months ago. And the stuff people had lashed behind the wall, obviously it had been damaged through the weather. But you could see that it was actually something decent. Like there was four table chairs. Why are people not offering this out to the community?
Absolutely.
It's just easier to dump it behind the wall, isn't it? It's just... Mm.
Tim, can I ask you something? Do you have any dealings with our local councillors?
I live next door to a guy who used to be a councillor who's no longer doing it. But I'm not really someone who's got the ear of local councillors, as it were. I know in Bootle people say that it's quite long-standing, isn't it? You've got the same people who are in there. I do sympathise with councils, the way that they've been cut. But I'm always happy to make contact with them if you know of anyone.
No, without making it political.
Yeah.
I want to know what a councillor's job is. I know they get paid quite a bit of expenses to do the job. I won't elaborate on this, but we have good and bad councillors in all wards, we'll say. You have those that do, and those that don't care as long as they're still getting their expenses. And I think they should be taken to task. They should do more. I know they say we have surgeries and things like that, and get out into the street and ask the people, you know, I went on a walkabout with one of our councillors a few years ago, and oh, yes, Barbara. Oh, no, Barbara. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, let's do something about that. He never did anything. It's worse than ever, what we were talking about. And I just think there's some great councillors out there. Do we know any?
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they're not making themselves transparent in all areas that they represent and just stick to a little bit of an area that they just happen to like, I think we all get very frustrated. I quite often say on Facebook, whatever we are saying, I will guarantee the councillors will be seeing it. Because it's funny the way you get little conversations and how they go. And and all we want, Tim, is teamwork. Yeah, we want to be able to work together. We don't want to fight. And,
Does it... I mean, for something like the waste problem in Bootle, I don't know if you've heard of those citizens' assemblies where you just get like a group of people randomly selected and say, right, you're going to look at the issues, speak to experts, and we're going to actually do something. And, you know, it's all very well saying that the council have got some government funding to spend, and once that money's spent, you're worried about the legacy. It's about getting everyone together, collaborating, and come up with meaningful long-term stuff. And that takes the pressure off the councils as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. What do you know about it, Tim?
About the citizens' assemblies. Citizens' assemblies. So what they've done is, like, controversial issues, like they looked at abortion in Ireland, and they sometimes look at a very controversial issue. It's called the Citizens' Assembly. And you pick 12 random members of the public. They look at the issue exhaustively. It's picked by lot. They can speak to experts. They come up with a plan, and then the plan is implemented. And the thing is, they're not worried about re-election. They're not going to be there long term. So they're saying, right, let's deal with this issue now. But it's something that I think has gained currency. I mean, even after Brexit, they were talking about getting one to deal with the post-Brexit situation. But of course, a lot of politicians were like, oh, no, no, we don't want that because they can't control it. But they are genuinely democratic. It is ruled by the people. And then the people aren't thinking, oh, I want to get on me. I want a long-term wage from this. They do that job and then they go back into the community. So
is this a local thing? Because it's strange that neither Mike nor I have heard of this.
It's not really carried out. It's not really considered part of the British way of doing things. It has happened in some countries. But basically, it's something that people agree to deal with a very difficult issue. But the people do it without any like axe to grind. And then they come up with a solution, have a crack at it, and then they go back in. So, for example, fly tipping, if the council is spending,
it could be half a million.
Half a million, sorry, 500,000, whatever it is. You say, right, they're spending this, isn't it? What's the situation? So they then speak to experts from around the world who've had fly tipping problems and say, what did you do? Oh, this worked. That didn't work. Right, that's right. And basically, they're called citizens' assemblies. I think we should have more of them, because in ancient Greece, they used to do things by lot. So you'd pick it and go, right, I'm doing this for 5 years and then I'm gone. I've got no axe to grind. I'm not trying to get another job. Public service, and then you go. In many ways, you know, it might spice things up a little bit and certainly get things a little bit more accountable. But citizens' assemblies, I've read a lot about them. They do happen around the world, but I think we need more of them, to be honest, to deal with long-standing issues.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a really good concept. You know, I don't want to say too much about the council, but they're not the best at communicating stuff. And that's where organisations like that, these, you know, can get the message out, can't they? And
I mean, what a citizens' assembly would do is you fund it and say, like, you lot are doing this job. They get experts in, deal with the issue, and then come up with a solution. But what happens is, if you have really controversial issues, you can do it on that as well and go, right, here's what we've decided to move forward. And it takes the politics out of it. But for something like, I mean, if the council are spending that much money on fly tipping prevention, they might as well try something else, mightn't they? And if it means like that, they say to people, if you are going to fly tip, call this number. and they try stuff out. They just try whatever and say, how can we get it down? It's a bit like with drug use. People sometimes say, oh, let's have an area or a house where people can use drugs. And then crime goes down, drug use goes down. But, oh, no, we can't be doing that. It's about doing what works rather than people being worried about perceived consequences, etc., you know.
Yeah, I think you definitely need to look at the bigger picture, don't you? And we've had people say to us, so I lived in Germany, and what used to happen was once a month, the residents could bring all the stuff they needed to get rid of and put it there, and the council would take it. And it works. So, you know, it's looking at things like that, isn't it?
Well, do you know, if you said to me, though, what countries in Europe do you think do that? I'd have probably said Scandinavian countries, maybe Germany. So that tells you something now about how the Germans approach things, because then you can say, oh, yeah, there's two beds. We've got a couple down here who are on benefits, or people who are trying to house a home. It's two beds. The amount of waste which we throw away when there's people in need, it is terrible. But, yeah. I mean, we need to think of radical solutions. It's great what you're doing, but we need the local governments and central government to say, yeah, let's devolve this power, let's get citizens involved, and let's take your head on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything in, not to my knowledge, in Sefton. So I know in Liverpool Council we've got something called Bulky Bobs. Which comes,
I remember
takes,
Bulky Bobs, yeah.
But I don't think there's anything in Sefton.
I think there is a pickup. I've arranged one myself, but we had to wait a while. And if you're a family who's saying, like, we need to get rid of this bed, and you live in a two-bedroom house, you're trying to get rid of a bed, you don't want to put it in the living room, you don't want to put it in the hallway. If you put it on the street, there's no way in the street. These are problems that need solutions. And do you know what? There's going to be someone who needs a bed, who could take that bed, and the council could say, here's a bed. You know, this is where joined-up thinking comes in. And it definitely needs looking at. And I think you're part of the solution, so keep up the good work. Right?
I'll try.
Right, no worries. But listen, thanks very much for all you're doing. And I've put a couple of posts on the Bootle Action Group about doing this and doing podcasts with other people. And I just think it's good that we get this good news out there and advertise what's going on, because people often feel like isolated and, oh, you know, what can I do? But the more the merrier. And people like yourselves are really inspirational, unsung heroes in the community. So keep up the good work, folks.
Will do.
Brilliant. I'll put details of the Bootle Action Group Facebook group in the first instance in the notes. I'll send you some notes. Thanks for giving up your precious time in the evening as well, because we've gone on a good hour and a half there. So
yeah,
I really appreciate it. No worries. Bob and Mike, thank you very much for your time, and I will be in touch soon.
All right, cheers. Thank you.
All right, I'll see you later. Ta-da. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.